We have a master who demands radical obedience. A mission that warrants radical urgency. And we do not have time to waste our lives living out a Christian spin on the American dream.
The most glorious reason you exist is for the proclamation of the glory of God to the ends of the earth. And it's more than having a nice life. It's about giving our lives and our families and our jobs for the proclamation of the glory of Christ to the ends of the earth.
If we're going to live for the sake of 4.5 billion lost people and thousands and thousands and thousands of kids who are dying every day, they don't have food on their table, then that means radical change in our lives, our families, church.
Church, we are plan A, and there is no plan B.
Thought we'd go light this morning. Well, welcome to the conclusion of this series, Radical. For those of you that have missed the previous installments, I just want to kind of let you know what we've been talking about. I think that video kind of helps you know a little bit about what we've been talking about. It's more than just a word, this word radical. It's really a description of what life is supposed to be. And too often we've taken Christianity, this religion that we've created called Christianity that looks so unlike what it means to really be a follower of Jesus. And we've made it safe, and we've made it comfortable, and we've made it palatable, and we've said the safest place to be is the center of God's will. When in fact, the most dangerous place for us to be is the center of God's will. The most exciting place for us to be is the center of God's will. The most dynamic people on this planet should be Christ followers. And a few moments ago, we sang about the cross, and we sang that it demands our life, our all. And those are easy, easy words to say. But they're completely different when it comes to putting them into practice. I think one of the reasons why Christianity in this nation is so dull, it's so lifeless, it's not growing. We're closing thousands of churches every month in this country. I think it's because we are filling these churches with people that are not taking risks, that are not radically following Jesus, but are just going through the motions of this safe religion that we've called Christianity. And my challenge to you, and more importantly, Jesus' challenge to you and to me, is to live a life of passionate, radical surrender and obedience to Jesus. And He demands our all. Our all. If there's one key verse in this series that we've been looking at several times, it's Luke 14:33, and it simply says, "Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." And what Jesus said, he basically gave us three commands. It's a great commandment, love God and love your neighbor, and then the great commission, which is make disciples. Obviously, you can't make a disciple if you're not a disciple. And to be a disciple, you have to give up everything, Jesus said. Yeah, we're raising the bar high. But don't take my word for it. This is what Jesus said. We've just dumbed it down for a very long time. Jesus demands radical abandonment of everything. Our time, our talent, our treasures, our relationships, our future, our hopes, our dreams, everything. He wants it all. As we've borrowed ideas from David Platt's book, Radical, we've discovered how closely Jesus' mission fits with the church's mission. And of course, the church's mission ideally is Jesus' mission. But as a church, as Sio Community Church, we said that we exist to fulfill the Great Commission and follow the Great Commandment by three things: serving our communities, sharing our story, and sending disciples to bless the nations. Why? Why? So God is glorified. This is all about Jesus, friends. I hope when people think of Sio, they think of Jesus. I hope when people think of you, they think of Jesus. Because if we don't look like Jesus, then we're just playing games. It's all about Jesus. This is not about me. It's not about going to church. It's not about going through rules and regulations. It's about falling in love with Jesus. Why? Because He paid the ultimate price to demonstrate His love for you. Everything I'm about to say to you this morning is just a response to this. That's it.
This isn't a checklist of things to do or rules and regulations. It's just a response. If drowning in a pond somewhere, I happen to be walking by and I see you and you're on the verge of drowning, and I dive in with a life jacket, because you're not supposed to dive in without something, right? They say. And I save your life. I pull you out. Inevitably, you would find something in your heart, I'm guessing, that would say, I want to express my thanks to you. I want to repay you somehow. You saved my life. I owe you everything. And your response wouldn't be, well, what do you demand of me now? What checklist can I follow? But merely out of gratitude, out of thanksgiving, you respond and you say, can I mow your lawn? Can I feed your dog? Can I do something for you? How can I ever repay you? Friends, we can't begin to repay Jesus. But we can follow him. And the exciting thing to me about following Jesus is the more we follow him, the more we surrender, the more we give up, the more we receive, the more we experience his presence and power in our lives. See, if I start mowing your lawn, I don't really get a whole lot out of that except maybe a suntan. But when we follow Jesus, when we respond to the things that he's told us to do, he said that if you love me, you will keep my commands. When we love Jesus, we get blessed. We all of a sudden experience joy like we've never had before. So following Jesus, we don't really give up anything. I mean, he says give up everything, but everything we give up, it's just filthy rags. We get the good stuff. At the beginning of the series, I shared a story about this girl who received a set of play pearls, a little necklace, little plastic pearls that she loved. She absolutely loved these little play pearls, and her dad said, I want them back. And she's like, no, I don't want to give that to you. This is mine. This is my precious gift from you. Why would you take back what you already gave me, Daddy? And eventually she surrenders them, and he takes them, and he puts this beautiful, real pearl necklace in her hands and says, because I have something even better for you. Friends, everything that we give up for Jesus, he's going to give us so much more. Do you trust him? And last week I issued two cautions. I said one is that we wouldn't take Jesus seriously enough. Rationalize, well, everything, he didn't really mean everything. He meant everything that I want to give up. He meant everything on Sunday morning for an hour. He meant everything in some other kind of... No, he meant everything. We don't take him seriously enough. The other extreme is to think, great, if I follow this checklist, then I'll earn God's favor. And let me say again, and you'll hear this over and over and over from my lips because I believe it so passionately. Nothing can make God love you more than he already does. And nothing you can ever do can make God love you less. Nothing. So this isn't about earning our way to heaven. It's not about doing tricks and trying to wow God and all that. This is simply ways that we can respond to God so that he knows we're serious and he can use us to be a blessing to the world. Because that's what we're about. We're on mission. That's why we're here. If it's just come to Jesus and then build a relationship with him and that's the end of the story, then we should all be in heaven right now. But we're still here. And we're here on mission. The church doesn't have a mission. The mission has a church. And that's us. What I'm about to share with you has an additional caution. And that is, it's really, really easy to sit here and listen to what I'm about to say and nod your head and say, oh, yes, that sounds good. Oh, yes, yes. Amen. Just like it's easy to sing songs, like I surrender all. But the caution, Jesus' brother James said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. A few weeks ago, there were some people that were very kind. Some of you, perhaps, you know, that were very kind and compliment. Nice sermon, Pastor, nice sermon, you know. I mean, I appreciate that. But the greater compliment would be to go and do what it says. To put it into practice. And so what I'm gonna say to you this morning, you know, we've celebrated communion, we've remembered all that Jesus has done, And all I'm going to do this morning is just share with you some next steps, some suggestions for some things that you can do to radically live your life to follow Jesus. I want you to consider the radical experiment. There's five parts of the radical experiment, and they are just that. They're an experiment. These are five things that I believe will draw you closer to Jesus, and that's it. This isn't about me. This isn't about Sile. This is about drawing you closer to Jesus so that you can love Jesus more. They reflect His heart, His passion, His commands. These five things are not magic. They're not going to make you rich. They're not going to just make you happy all the time. But I guarantee you, they can change your life. And if your life has changed, our church has changed. And if our church has changed, the world has changed. And how many of you know the world needs some change? Some real change. Are you ready? All right, first, let's pray. Jesus, we continue just to reflect this morning on the cross, and we think about all that You've done for us. While we were yet sinners, Jesus, You died for us. Jesus, I thank You for the cross. I thank You that You love me, not because I'm a good person, but despite all my failures and sins and the garbage in my life, the wickedness and the evil, that You love me so much and You love each of us so much that You knew we were hopeless. And that's why You came to give us hope. You came to give us an opportunity to know the Father and to reconcile a relationship that's been broken by sin. And I pray, God, that we would not leave this place just with a couple blanks filled out on a piece of paper or just some good ideas that we can toss around. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us and You would show each of us what next steps we need to take to more passionately follow Jesus, to more radically follow Jesus, and to experience what it means to truly be human. Because Jesus, You were the ultimate human, and You lived Your life in the most amazing way to set an example for us to follow. And so as You, Jesus, gave everything for us, may we respond and give everything to You. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart please You, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning, you want practical, you got practical. Five steps. First step, pray for the entire world. This week, the 7 billionth person was born on our planet. 7 billion people now. Billions have never heard of Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus said in Luke 10:2, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Pray for the entire world. We take our faith for granted. We take information for granted. Now, granted, information is becoming more plentiful. You know, there's people that have had now cell phones before they had regular phones. And so information is everywhere. Almost. But Jesus, pray for the world, pray for the nations, pray for people that don't know Me, pray for those that have never even heard the gospel. We can join God in His mission on our knees. One of the things I love about our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, they've got some core values. We're going to look at a few of them today. One of them says that prayer is the primary work of God's people. Isn't that a great picture there? I love that. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. So if you're God's people, you need to get on your knees. And yeah, we pray for Aunt Martha who's sick, and we pray for Joey who has a headache. But we can also pray for the nations. We're going to use a tool called OperationWorld.org over the coming months. It'll be our main tool for praying for the entire world. Have any of you heard of Operation World? Okay, a few of you. Wow, actually quite a few of you. That's great. They have a book, a website, and other resources where you can learn about a different nation each day and pray for them. We want God to bless America, but we want God to bless the nations. For God to love the whole world, right? The first step in being a blessing to the nations is to pray for them. And so very simply, to spend some time praying each day for the nations. And the website and the book and the other resources give you a different nation, facts about the nation. It's a great way to learn about the world. And a great way to pray for them as well. The second thing is to read through the entire Word. Now, how many of you read through the Bible cover to cover? Show of hands. Okay? Quite a few of you. If you didn't raise your hand, don't feel bad. I get stuck at Leviticus 2. But this relates to another value of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and that is knowing and obeying God's word is fundamental to all true success. How many of you want to be successful in life? I think there's a few more of you. Knowing and obeying God's word is fundamental to all true success. And you can't obey it if you don't know it. If you don't know it, you don't know it if you haven't read it. Okay? So the challenge is going to be to read through the entire Bible. We need to know the truth of God's word. The purpose, again, is not to perform a task, but to get to know our Father. Steve Jobs asked Walter Isaacson to write a biography of his life that's already been this massive, massive bestseller. And he went to this writer and he said, "I want you to write a biography of my life." And Walter said, "You're still living. Like, I write books about dead people." And this is what he said. He said, "I want you to write a biography of my life so that my children can know their dad." My heart just broke when I thought about that. To think that, you know, my kids would only know me through someone writing a book about me. But at least they would have that. Our Father has written a book so that we know who He is. So that we know about His character, so we know about His story, so we know about His love, so we know everything, almost everything that we can know about Him. We need to read it. Our Father's given us not only information about Himself, but also wisdom for living, exciting stories, history, poetry, prophecy, and so much more. And I want to challenge you to read through the Bible in 2012. And you may be saying, "Wait a second, we're still in 2011. Is this New Year's Eve?" I'm going to give you a little time. You got some weeks to practice, to kind of test this out, to feel it out, to think about it, to pray about it. I think so often we make New Year's resolutions on New Year's Eve and we don't keep them because we don't give enough thought to the process. So I'm going to challenge you now, November 6th, read through the Bible in 2012. Shoot, you can even get a head start now and get 14 months almost to do it. We have a tool for this too. Dr. George Guthrie developed the Chronological Bible Reading Plan. This plan takes the material of the Bible and organizes it to flow in a chronological order. Since exact dating of some of the materials or events is not possible, the chronology simply attempts to give you, the reader, the general flow and development of the Bible's grand story. Some passages are placed according to topic. There are 6 readings each week to give you space for catching up when needed. So you can take a Sabbath from Bible reading. Though I don't really recommend that necessarily. The website's readthebibleforlife.com. And in addition to the website, there's also a book. There's free apps available for iPod Touch, iPhone, iPad, Android. It's fully compatible with YouVersion. Some of you use YouVersion, the website, or the different apps. You can listen to it on audio for free. You can read the book. You can visit online, view the app. However you do it, I don't even care. We just want you to read through the entire Word of God next year. And we have so many tools, so many resources to do this. And I think this chronological plan, it's pretty interesting. And here's the thing. We're going to read through the Bible next year together. Imagine what it'd be like if you're talking to a friend on the phone and you say, "Hey, this morning I read this verse. This is such a great verse." And you're like, "I just read that too." What if we're all reading the same stuff together and we can share and we can pass on, encourage one another? It would change our church. To say nothing of the fact that individually we would have read through the Bible, the fact that we're doing it together would be an incredible, incredible thing. In addition to the verses and the actual text of the Bible, readthebibleforlife.com offers podcasts and videos with people such as Michael Card and others that will help you read, understand, and apply God's Word. And next Sunday, we're going to have a very, very special opportunity. I hope you are all here this Sunday and plan on making a day of next Sunday. I know that's kind of an unusual thing. But I guarantee you, if you can plan out to be here next Sunday till 5:30, you will not regret it, because we're going to get a head start in this whole Bible thing. Check this out.
So this is the Bible. Well, these days it might even turn on like this. The Bible is large, it is old, it was around when people looked like this. How does it apply to me? I mean, it's longer than 140 characters. Where do I begin? It can be intimidating. Why do I need to learn the Old Testament? Why not just skip over to the New Testament? Well, consider this. Did you know that Jesus quotes the Old Testament? God's story of salvation and love begins in the Old Testament? Or Jesus lived during Old Testament times? Maybe you like Genesis, and Exodus is pretty epic, but what is the deal with Leviticus? And what's a Habakkuk? Walk through the Old Testament can answer all these questions in a few hours. Yeah, that's right, you can learn the entire Old Testament in a few hours. You can learn it in the time it takes to fly from New York to LA, or in the time it takes to build that bookshelf from that funny-sounding furniture store. Walk Through the Old Testament is the creative idea of Walk Through the Bible. Over 10 million people have discovered Walk Through the Bible live events. God's big plan in the Old Testament is really a rescue plan, an amazingly true story of how God wanted a relationship with His people. It's filled with drama, excitement, and family tension. Plus, there's a dude named Jethro. It's not just knowledge, it's a foundation upon which everything else in your life should be built on. Knowing the Old Testament helps you understand God, His plans, His justice, His love, and how you fit into all of it. God has a plan for your life. Understanding the Old Testament is understanding God better. So, what if you could learn the entire Old Testament in just a few hours? What if you could know it so well you could tell a friend in 3 minutes? Well, you can. Pretend to walk through the Old Testament, learn the Old Testament in just a few hours, remember it, and apply it to the rest of your life.
That's next Sunday. So how many of you are planning on going through this with us next Sunday? Just a show of hands, okay? The rest of you have a week to change your mind, okay? Seriously, it will be worth your while. Those of you planning to participate, there's a workbook. It's $10. That's just the cost of the workbook. So if you can plan on, you know, bringing $10, that'd be great. If you can't afford that, you know, we'll make that happen one way or the other. But we're going to have our regular service, although Brian Harvey, who's going to teach the walk through the Old Testament, he's going to do the sermon, if you will, to kind of get things started. And then we're going to have a potluck in the other room, just kind of share a meal together. And then someone likes potlucks. And then after the potluck, we're going to come back in here for the seminar. It's lively. It's interactive. This is not sit there and take notes and try to stay awake. I promise you, you will find this interesting, fascinating. You will learn in a way maybe that you've never learned before. And you will leave this place at 5:30 next week with exactly what they said, a whole understanding of the Old Testament. It will blow your mind. So I really hope you will join me. There are some people say, can we bring my friend's youth group? Absolutely. Can I bring some friends from another church? Bring them on in. I'd love to see this place just packed out, because every person that comes is going to get a better sense of who God is. They'll get to know their Father better. And it's not just about information, it's about transformation. So next Sunday, bring that great casserole you've been dying to make, or that really wonderful dessert that we'll all love to eat. And we'll share that together, and then we'll do walk through the Old Testament together. It will change your life. I mean, I don't say that lightly. I think next Sunday has the potential to change your life. And if you can read, you can attend. So, you know, some of you are like, well, what about my kids and stuff? It's going to be a great, great time together. And especially those of you that are new to SIO, it's going to be a great way to get to know other people over the potluck and the food and through walk through the Bible. So have I promoted that a bit? Three more. You want to hear them? Okay, they go quicker. I'm like, ooh, thought we're going to be here till 2. Okay, so walk through the Old Testament is next week. The third thing is sacrifice our money for a specific purpose. We've said everything we have belongs to God, not 10%, not 50%, but 100% of what we have belongs to God. And as we've noted, every person in this room is financially rich. I haven't done it yet, but I really want to get a t-shirt that says, I am the 1%. Well, all these people are picketing the 99%. I am in the 1% richest people on the planet. Not in the U.S., but on the planet. What would happen if we committed to free up our resources to meet urgent spiritual and physical needs around the world? Do you think God would honor our generosity? Do you think that He would honor if we took Him seriously at His word and sacrificially gave back to Him and invested in His kingdom? Do you think that there would be some return on investment for that? Instead of asking how much can we spare, why don't we say how much will it take? Because this world needs help. If it's wells, if it's sending Bibles overseas, if it's helping provide resources for church planters in another country, there's a plethora of things. And I know sometimes the needs of our world seem so overwhelming, we just want to give up. Bob Pierce, the former president of World Vision, he said this, "Don't fail to do something just because you can't do everything." Don't fail to do something just because you can't do everything. Man, that just hit me like a ton of bricks. Because sometimes I'm like, yeah, what's the use? There's 30,000 starving children that die every day. What can I do about it? I can help one. I can sponsor a child with compassion. I can buy a cow. This week I heard about someone with a teenager in our church that's saving up money to buy a cow. Working extra jobs and doing all sorts of things. This is a teenager. You older folks, I mean, really, I think we can step it up. I don't want a teenager to outdo my giving and my generosity. Unless it's my kids. Each of us can do something, whether it's skipping a meal, sponsoring a child, even give a microloan with Kiva. That's a great way. You get the money back with Kiva. It's amazing. And you can support entrepreneurs in other countries. It's been said that Christians spend more money on dog food than missions. Just saying. Everything we have belongs to God. We are His stewards. And not only are we His stewards, we're going to have to give an account someday for what we did with all of our wealth and riches. The world is not our home. Let's stop living like it is. The fourth part of the radical experiment is simply to give our time in another context. And I challenge you and I challenge myself. Here's the goal. 2% of next year, give to another context. That's a week. Now maybe that's 7 Saturdays. Maybe that's a week in the middle of summer or over Christmas break or something. But give our time in another context. This could be a missions trip to Africa or a week next summer in Detroit. We'll be presenting opportunities in the coming days for youths and for individuals and for families to do these things together. Or you can create your own. But the idea is to get out of your own context, get out of your comfort zone and spend a week next year in another context serving and blessing other people. Completing the Great Commission will require the mobilization of every fully devoted disciple. Everyone. Everyone's in this. This isn't my job. This isn't the elder's job. We're all called to mission. We're all called to be missionaries. We're all called to be mobilized. We're all called to make disciples. That means you. Lost people matter to God. He wants them found. That's why Jesus came. And there was a day when each one of us was lost. And someone reached out to us. Someone got out of their comfort zone and shared the love of Jesus with us. And maybe some of you in this room are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm still lost. I'd love to talk to you. Because we're all at various points in the spiritual journey, and maybe some of you don't know Christ from an apple. You're in a very good place. We want to help you take that next step and discover what we've found in Jesus Christ. Life. Abundant, radical, exciting life. So pray for the entire world, read through the entire Bible, sacrifice our money for a specific purpose, give our time in another context. So perhaps the most important part of the radical experiment is this one. Commit our lives to a multiplying community. For most of you, that's obviously SIO. If you're new around here, I urge you to connect somewhere. If it's at this church, if it's another church, maybe you're looking for a different style or a different something different that we don't offer. If that's the case, I would love to talk to you because I pray with about 50 pastors in this area, and I know some really, really great churches around here. They're not our competition. They just complement what we're doing, and we bless them. We work with them. We partner with them. We serve together. We pray together. We do joint services together. We're on the same team. And I had a couple weeks ago, I made this offer to a couple. They were just here for the first time. And I said, you know, welcome, and we're so glad you're here. Selfishly, we'd love for you to just make this your home. But I said, if you're looking for something maybe a little different, you know, I would be honored to let you, you know, to be able to like give you a reference or a referral to somewhere else. And so I got an email last week, and this person wrote and said, you know, we love Sile. The people were amazing. It was so friendly. What a warm family. we grew up in a real traditional experience, like with liturgy, and for those of you who don't know, that's smells and bells, and they said we would, you know, we're just looking for something a little bit more, you know, formal or liturgical was kind of the word that, and I said, oh, thank you so much. I was like the greatest compliment in the world to me that they would trust me with that information, and I said, you know, there are some great churches in the area that are, you know, much more like that. And somebody like, what did you say? I'll just tell you. I said St. Luke Lutheran, which is a fantastic church, and their sister church, University Lutheran Chapel. I said, check that out. Knox Presbyterian might be a good church because they had some background with Presbyterian churches and Calvary Presbyterian as well. Because they're all, I mean, I know pastors at all those churches. They love Jesus. We're on the same team. They do things a little differently. And I said, if you don't find what you're looking for at those churches, come back and maybe I'll wear a robe for you. And so if you see me dressed differently in a few weeks, you'll know what happened. Be our little secret. But seriously, we're all on the same team. The point is to get connected, to be a part of a community, a multiplying community, a faith community. Be a committed member of a local church here or elsewhere. You know, following Jesus is a team sport. It's a team sport. I saw this commercial yesterday for an insurance company, you know, these commercials, you never even know what the heck they're for anymore. But it showed this football player, and he's standing there by himself, and it says, you need more than one person in a huddle. You know, it's like, here's a solo football player just by himself. Like, I would love to see him try to take on another team. Because you just can't do that with football, right? I mean, like, the ball, you have to, like, pass it or hand. So I think Christianity, I mean, like the church, this whole idea of community, we are not built to be these independent people. God's created us to need one another. In 2012, we're going to pray for the world together. We're going to read the word together. We're going to give together, and we're going to serve together. I think it's so interesting that God even exists in community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Interdependent, three in one, three persons in one. If God can't exist by himself, there's no way you can. Think about that. Acts 2:42-47. Many of you know this. It's quoted so often, but it's such a beautiful portrait of what we are to be and how we are supposed to live together. Not just for an hour on Sunday, but even throughout the week. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. I love that phrase. When's the last time you were filled with awe? Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. We just kind of like to pass by that part. But think about it. They sacrificially gave to one another and to those in need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I know our culture is a little different. We all live close together and it's harder to get together every single day and such. But I think there's a lot that can be taken from that text. And that picture is one of community and it's one of together. And so this challenge is not just to individuals saying, will you take the experiment next year? Will you read through the Bible? Will you pray for the entire world? It's about us doing this together, encouraging one another, helping each other, strengthening one another. Now, this was not a perfect church either, but it was a radical one. And I cannot imagine a more compelling vision for SIO, a group of normal but radical people passionately committed to loving Jesus, one another, and their neighbors. It doesn't just happen, though, friends. We can't wish it into reality. It requires action. It requires total surrender. But it's worth it. And again, you might ask, well, this is November. Why are we talking about 2012? Just to give you a head start. Give you some time. Think about it. Pray about it. In your bulletin, there's a little slip, and you've probably been taking little notes about these five steps. There's a website that was developed sort of in conjunction with the Radical book. And there's resources there. And we'll be promoting these resources and making them available. But wanted to give you this week, some of you like to go online, check stuff out. TheRadicalExperiment.org. You can kind of find stuff there. We're going to offer Bible reading plans and stuff for families and devotional guides and prayer guides and all sorts of resources to help you in this next year. to accomplish these four things: praying for the entire world, reading through the entire word, sacrificing for a specific purpose, and giving our time in another context. And I also wanted to let you know this now, because you know what happens like in a few weeks. Life gets crazy, that whole holiday thing, and you know, our consumption festival and all the stuff that's about to take place. I want you to think now, pray now about, God, is this what you want me to engage in? Or maybe there's some additional things that God's calling you to do. I mean, this isn't like the definitive list. These are just some ideas, some steps to help you draw closer to Jesus. And again, this isn't about earning your way to heaven. This isn't about getting God's favor. This is just about falling deeper in love with Jesus. We love and serve Him because He first loved us. This is our response.
There was a day when you were totally despised, and you were dead in your sin, and Christ came and pursued you, and He reached down into your wounded, dead heart, and He gave you life. Now, it just makes sense to show that kind of mercy to others. Is not world praying, and the goal is not Bible reading. The goal is not sacrificial giving, and the goal is not great mission trips. The goal is Christ.
We've got a King who deserves praise from every people group on the planet.
God has designed this picture to pour out His grace on all of His people, not just select individuals in church history, select leaders in the church, on all of His people, so that they might show all of His glory to all of the world. And I pray that God wake up His church to see His great glory and to see their great need, and to begin to live here for their sake over there, and to work there for the sake of people here, and accomplishing the greatest mission on face of this planet. The church says yes. We give our lives to preaching the gospel.
Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing one final song together. And the words just talk about, worthy is your name. Worthy is our God. He's worthy of our all. He's worthy of everything that we have.